Good morning. Well, actually, it's good evening, isn't it? It's 9 o'clock. This is N2OEL operating as K2BR, the call sign of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. This is the regular Thursday technical net. Same as we do, as Gordon does every Thursday. So let me grab a piece of paper here. When you check in, please tell me if you have a comment, a question, or none of the above. So start with the letters N or A. Anybody whose call sign begins with an N or A, please check in now. Okay. Well, that'd be anybody whose call sign starts with a WA, WB, WC.
This is W2JEK, Don, with a comment.
Thank you, Don. Anybody with any W? Randy.
Ski Uniform 2 Sierra, Randy with a comment.
W. It's like I took a nap too long here. I was actually taking a rough day and decided to check into the net and I didn't hear anybody, so I called Gordon. Okay, anybody with a K?
K2GFM, Greg and Montbell listening.
Thank you, Greg. Anybody else?
Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, Randy with a comment.
Yes, Randy, I got you.
Thank you.
K2EIR, Howie in Tarrytown. None of the above.
Thank you, Howie. Pretty good. Anybody else who hasn't checked in yet?
And to JDH, Andre, just listening in.
Mobile in Sussex County. No comments, no questions.
I got N2GDH, Andre, and you doubled with somebody who's mobile with no questions. The mobile station, please. Can I have a call?
This is AC2GI, Rich. No comments, no questions.
Thank you, Rich. Anybody else who hasn't checked in yet?
QB, Bruce, no traffic.
Okay, I think it's a KB, and then we've lost the rest, but no traffic. Can I have your call again, please?
KC2WDJ, what's the question?
WA2QBC, Bruce, no traffic.
Thank you, Bruce. And I think you said KC2WDJ. May I please have your name?
Sure, the name is Walt, and I have a question.
Thank you, Walt. I have one question. Good. Anybody else hasn't checked in yet, please?
Quick question.
Okay. Was that you, Walt, or is that somebody else who had a question?
N2 JDH. I didn't catch Bruce's call sign. I was writing down the log.
I put Bruce down as KC2WDJ. Bruce is a... I'm sorry. I'm saying Bruce. W2ABC. Is that you, Bruce?
Okay, the call is Whiskey Alpha 2, Quebec Bravo, Charlie, Bruce, no traffic.
Whiskey Alpha 2, Quebec Bravo, Charlie. Okay. I have my hearing in, but it's rough without it. Okay, anybody else hasn't checked in? I'm sorry, station. You're too noisy. Would you like to try again? Okay, that was 90% noise. Did anybody recognize the voice?
Negative, but I got a whiskey and then it was two other characters, but I'm missing the number and I guess the final letter.
Okay, station, would you like to try again?
Romeo Alpha Yankee. No traffic.
come now?
Net Control, this is KC2 UVQ.
KC2 UVQ.
Affirmative.
Anybody else? Okay, we'll start with the first comment. This is Noel, operator is K2BAR. Don, I'd like to thank you. Our friend never met W2KIP. We talked to her the other day. Going to do a paper upgrade as soon as he has time to get to one of the sessions. So, W2JAK, over to you.
Hi, K2BAR in the net, this is W2JEK. Good evening, everybody. Yes, just a comment about this. A fellow W2KIP has a technician license from way back when, before March 21st, 1987. And all he has to do now is get a paper upgrade, and, we call it, and he can, because the written exam that he took is the same as the general exam. The only difference was that he took the 5 words of it in 12 instead of the 13. Those are going away. He's, he can do a paper upgrade for him. And I sent copies of the question in the call book from 1986 for to him as well, so it's on its way. Wrap it a minute. Okay, now back to the original comment. Barrett will be running a VE test session on Friday, June 19th at 7 p.m. at the Westwood Regional High School. And, coming, you'll need ID, like a photo ID, like a driver's license or a passport. That's the $15. If you have a license, please bring the license and a copy of the license. If you don't have a license, please bring your social security number. And choose to get an FRN number from the FCC, not necessary, but that or a social security number. Commercial radio activities, or go ahead and get a headache with give us the social so they get an FRN number ahead of time. Anyway, we need that. Use a calculator, that's fine. The memory has to be empty. Cell phones and iPods and other devices we don't use as calculators. Covers it. One other thing, if people's license has expired over beyond 2 years beyond the grace period, and as a general administrator, re-upping, they by taking the current technician test, re-up to the credit for the license they held. Back to that, W2JEK.
Thank you, Don. Randy, WU2S, over you for your comment.
Thank you, Noel, and good evening to everyone on the net. Many of us use power poles for a whole variety of reasons, and recently I had the requirement to attach power poles to a prepared pigtail lead with a DC barrel connector on the other end. And of course, the way these are usually made is they have very thin wire. I'm trying to crimp to this this wire. It's probably something like 22 gauge with a standard Anderson power pole contact. Just isn't going to work. There's just not enough wire there. So I came up with a way of making it work with a minimum amount of fuss, and that involves using some very small diameter brass tubing that you can get from hobby suppliers. And the tubing is about 2 millimeters in outside diameter, or roughly 3/32 of an inch. And with some very sharp flush cutters, I cut off about, I would say probably a quarter of an inch to 5/16 of an inch in length. And it ends up crushing the tube a little bit, but with the flush cutters, you can kind of squeeze it back and open it up. When you heat it up a little bit, holding it with the pliers, of course, and getting a little solder in there, then you can put the thin wire into the hot solder and pull it away and let it cool, and then you have a thick enough contact that you can go ahead and crimp the power pole connector too. If anybody has difficulty finding the source for this tubing, let me know. I have an ample supply that should last me for the next roughly 300 years, so I'd be willing to part with some. Back to net control.
Thank you, Randy. That was a novel idea. Okay, we got questions from Walt. Walt, KC2WDJ, over to you. This is K2BAR.
Comment on the last topic, K2EIR.
Okay, do that first. Go ahead, Howie.
Okay, whatever it's worth, it does mean ordering and then having on hand. But PowerWorks in California sells a variety of sizes of the contacts that go into the standard Anderson. When I say standard, I guess it's the one that goes up to 30 or so amps. They have one, I think, that would be good for number 22. It might be a little bit bigger, but I face the same difficulty that no different sizes. You come to come on in, you have problem, but I always solder, and so the narrower contacts lend themselves to that, and the wider ones to, the good heavy amperage 12-volt wire that you want for your rig. That's about it. K2EIR.
Comment?
Okay, anybody else send their comment? The other station I just called?
Comment?
Go ahead.
Whiskey 2 Alpha Papa Papa. Just an easier way would actually be to take some actual thicker wire, trim it off, then stick the smaller wire in the middle of the thicker wire, head to head, tin it up, cut off the bigger wire, put it into the power pole, and then just fill it with solder. So the thicker wire will actually just pad out the inside of the power pole without K2BR factor net. Comment?
Okay, I'm sorry. Is there any more comments?
Comment.
Go ahead.
So LWA2QBC. Why not get a piece of 20-gauge stranded, fold it over on itself, cut off about a quarter-inch length of it, and then wrap the really thin wire around it, just crimp it normally.
Randy?
Well, I guess the response to that is I've tried that in a variety of ways, using thicker stranded wire, and for whatever reason, it didn't really work for me. Maybe I'm just not nimble enough, or didn't set up the work process in a way that I could handle both pieces of wire, the thin pigtail and the thicker stranded wire. So I suppose it would work, but I wasn't able to get that method working for me. And I hit on this. It seemed like a simpler solution for me, in that, I've got a brass tube that's, the right size, and it's easy to fill with solder and hold. So it's an alternative to consider. It may not work for everybody, but it's working for me. Back to net.
Thank you. Is there any more comments on the subject before we go to off?
W2TTT, with a comment.
Connected, W2TTT, connected, N2BHZ, repeater.
W2TTT, with a comment. Good evening, everybody.
Go ahead, Gordon.
Yeah, good evening, everybody, and Noel, thank you for running the net tonight. I'm in Atlanta, and about to go grab a bit of a supper, actually. But I have used the tubing that Randy mentioned, because he gave me some. And to answer the question as to why not just jam it with more wire, I used to do that. In fact, I would even double back or triple or quad it back on itself if I needed to build it out a little bit. And in all honesty, I just felt that what Randy has hit on here is just a whole lot nicer from a reliability and repeatability and just neatness viewpoint. So, you know, kudos to Randy for it. I mean, yeah, you can use, you know, the foldback method. But I wasn't going to do what Randy did with the tubing. I would probably take a like number 12, a piece of number 12, household wire, and jam it in there. Again, the repeatability would be a little difficult. You know, gonna solder it anyway. It's better to solder it into the tubing, and that way you get a uniform outer layer, and it'll just crimp up much nicer. And from what I've already been able to determine from the first time I did it, a couple, it's worked out very well. Anyway, back to Ned. I'm not gonna make too many comments here tonight because I'm on my phone doing this. K2BARW2TTT.
Connected K2OOL.
Well, you sounded really good, Gordon. I'd swear I wouldn't know you were on Echolink. I'm sorry if I woke you up when I called you to ask who was running the net. I turned on the radio at about 3 minutes after 9 and didn't hear anything, so that's why I called you. Okay, anybody else have any more comments on this?
WA2QBC.
Go ahead.
Thanks, Noel. It was my understanding that with flexible copper wire, soldering was contraindicated because the wire tends to get brittle and fail more often.
Gordon? Okay, if not Gordon, how about Randy?
Well, I don't know. I suppose Bruce's comment could be accurate. I do know that soldering stranded wire creates a hard point, and that could be a source of failure, and so it's an important consideration. What happens in practice is that as I'm soldering this small tubing on, some of the insulation melts around the entry point and stiffens that up. And then after I crimp the contacts on, and before I put the contacts into the Anderson power pole housing, I slip some heat shrink tubing of a suitable size over the leads and get it out of the area, insert the contacts as appropriate, and then move the heat shrink tubing up as close as possible to the power pole housing and then shrink it down, so that helps. Now, I don't have long-term experience in exposing these to use, so they may fail due to work hardening, and certainly I'll keep an eye out for that, but at the moment it seemed to be, for me, a quicker and easier way to assemble small wire leads into the power pole contacts. Back to net.
Thank you, Randy. I must confess, I'm one of the people that just doubled it back and forth 2, 3, 4 times before sticking it in. Okay, anybody else who has any comments on this? Hey, it was...
K2OOL disconnected.
Okay. Did we lose Walt? KC2WDJ.
No, I'm here. Sorry, that guy's exit announcement stepped all over you, so I don't think anybody actually heard what you were saying before. But yeah, KC2WDJ here. Walt, question is, I got an email today saying that the Vera VHF day tomorrow is canceled. Well, not tomorrow, for Saturday. But I was wondering if anybody was going to go anyway with their own little setup, and if they wanted to meet up.
Well, that's a good question. I got the same email, and I was disappointed. because I was planning to go upstate New York, dentist appointment up there on Monday, and I was hanging around down here just for the contest. Anybody else would like to meet Walt up at Nike Base?
Tony, K2AMI.
Go ahead, Tony.
Thanks, guys, for asking that question, but there is a small group of guys that will be going up on Sunday. Now, as you observe the weather forecast, Saturday it's going to be hazardous to put up metal towers when there's lightning around. But on Sunday morning, around about 9 o'clock, they'll be going up to the Nike base, and they will be operating all day at the Nike base until the guys want to quit. It might be 5, 6 o'clock at night. It'll be a basic operation. It won't be as big as usual, but anybody interested is welcome to get up to the Nike base to give a hand or even to operate. It will be a one-day contesting effort by Barra at the site.
Thank you, Tony. And I was actually intending to bring my air conditioner for the first time. I have a portable air conditioner because the 2 meter 220 440 tent, the big one that we acquired from Con Ed all those years ago, gets pretty hot in the bright sun. And I said, hey, you know, this portable air conditioner, throw that in there, 7,000 BTU, make a big difference to the two or three guys operating. Okay, anybody else about the subject of going up to the Nike base on Sunday?
JEK.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, well, you know, Barra paid for a permit to use that Nike base, so I don't know how that permit would stand with other people coming up there, going on their own, using that. There is, like, liability issues and stuff like that might happen, too, if we decided not to go, and yet some of our members did go up there. I've been up there when that tent blew off. Closed all those radios to a downpour, and we had some power hits and stuff that we were going to those radios. Is that a fun thing when you're up in that thunderstorm? Back in that WJK.
But on the thunderstorms are Saturday, and they're talking about Sunday where the weather is supposed to be beautiful.
The fellow was speaking about going up on Saturday. That's the part I meant.
2AMI.
Go ahead, Tony.
We are erecting the big yellow tent at all. It won't be any need to bring an air conditioner. Probably we'll use a couple of pop-ups and a couple of tables. It's going to be a very limited operation. Low operating. The tower is erected. There'll be poles and that are long to individual men. But anybody's welcome to come up to the site on Sunday. But operate under the barrier. And they can call them out under your own call. I've talked or I've emailed the parks department to readjust bridges. I think we'll be done.
Great, Tony. Anybody else on this? Walt, KC2, WDJ, over to you.
Alrighty, I'll probably try and make it on Sunday. My schedule is much more limited on that day. They don't want us near the Nike base. I probably go to another part of the mountain on Saturday morning, early, probably about 8 a.m., try and do a little bit of operating, but, yeah, I look forward to seeing anybody on Sunday. That's basically it. Back to the net, KC2 WDJ.
2AMI, with a comment.
Go ahead, Tony.
Tour contest starts at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, and does not, there is virtually nobody but a few guys setting up on Saturday morning. But the contest starts at 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon and runs until 11 o'clock Sunday night. The operating time is on Saturday morning. So if you go up there, you're welcome to join to do what you want, but you have much better success making contacts after 2 o'clock.
I presume they wouldn't count before 2 o'clock officially.
Connected K2OOL. K2OOL disconnected.
KC2WDJ. Yeah, I don't really care about the contest. I just want to make use of.
Okay. I don't think you can get much success because Most people are going to be just waiting for that 2 o'clock to come around. Seeing the groups that are setting up, of course, are not going to really turn their radios on until shortly before 2.
Well, looks like I'll just have to wait around then. KC2, WDJ.
Okay, so we got Don's comment, Randy's comment, Walt's question. Does anybody else have any questions or comments? Okay. Well, this is Noel and to OEL. I had actually turned on the radio because I had a question or a comment or both. I have an ancient Airstream trailer, 1975, along with its original equipment, which is really a voltmeter up in the panel above the sink. And I've decided to upgrade it a little bit by putting in a voltmeter and an ammeter on the batteries. The batteries are a good 20 feet away and on the opposite side of the trailer. So if I run a wire over to the batteries, it's got about 30 feet of wire there. So I'm thinking there's wires there already. Turns out if you go on eBay and you look for volt, amp, meter, shunt. Put those four words in as your search term. Volt, amp, meter, shunt. You'll get the most amazing display on your screen of voltmeters, ammeters, combination, and shunts. And it turns out that a lot of the devices want a separate power supply. They'll have five wires coming off. But there are a few of them that only use three wires. And with three wires by itself, it uses the power of the circuit under test. It's got to be more than 8 volts and less than 30 volts, which is good for a 12-volt system. And if you don't have anything else except the meter, it'll handle 10 amps. But you throw that shunt to this thing, and what you have is you could, I believe, depending on which shunt you put in, you can go to 50 amps, 100 amps. I even saw one that was 200 amps. And the shunt for the 100 amp one appears to be 75 milliohms. So what you hook this up near the battery, the shunt, run a couple of leads off of it, put a push button in for the power to the meter. The meter only draws, it's claimed, less than 20 milliamps when it's working. So you push the button and you can read the current and the voltage of your system. And I thought about this might have application to amateur radio. For instance, if you were measuring the current going into a rig, or if you wanted a handy little volt amp meter, you could put it in a box and you could have the 10 amp range, and you could put a switch on it and switch it to 100 amp range very easily, all for $10 or less. So does anybody have any comments on this? Gordon, W2TTT, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Noel, but I actually missed the previous minute or two. What was the question?
Okay, if you go on eBay and put in your search term volt, amp, meter, shunt, you can get many little electronic devices. They'll use between 10 milliamps and 20 milliamps when they're working. Some of them have five wires because they have separate power supply, but a few of them only use three wires. And if you just use the three wires as is, you could set it up as a 10 amp amp meter with a voltmeter combination. You can also put a shunt in and it'll handle up to 100 amps. And I was getting a comment on my part because I'm putting it into my Airstream trailer. Did you have any comments on that?
Yeah, I've done that kind of thing before. I've used the 100 amp shunt. The only problem with the 100 amp shunt, even the 50 amp shunt, is that it's so big that anything much less than an amp doesn't show up at all. I mean, not at all. Even if the ammeter has precision, it just doesn't register well. So you have to think about that. So, you know, thank you, ma'am. As long as you're willing to, have a certain degree of imprecision, let's say plus or minus an amp even, maybe, you're gonna have to really think about that. So, anyway, you should give that some consideration. Anyway, they work real well. I mean, there's no question about it. N2OAL, over BK2BAR, W2TTT.
Yes, Gordon. For my purposes, of course, in a trailer where I would be charging it with either the internal charger, which supposedly will do up to 45 amps, or when I have it on. Right now, the darn thing has 30 light bulbs, and each light bulb, I counted, is not at 1156, but what is the heck is it? It's very similar to it. Instead of drawing 2.25 amps, it only draws, I think, 1.8 amps. So if you can imagine, you put 10 of these light bulbs on, you're up to 18 amps. So, and each light fixture contains, down the center, six of these bulbs. So I'm thinking, oh, wow, 6 times 1.8, we're up to 10, 11 amps. And I was just thinking about, for a trailer, this would be a neat way to remotely read the current. So, from what you're saying then, if I was going to do it for less than an amp, I would take the shunt out and use the meter itself, which is basically a 10-amp meter and a voltmeter that goes up to 30 volts maximum. For the purposes of amateur radio, that would be handy for a lot of things, especially small current flows if you were measuring, again, a rig or something else. Anybody else got any comments on this? Okay, well, I ordered a couple for myself, and when we get them, I'll discuss it with the net and see how good it does. I have a linear Astron. It's allegedly the 50 amp here, and we have some loads. I will, of course, test it out before I do anything. Anybody else have any questions, comments, anything before we close the net? Okay, I want to thank everybody for showing up tonight. This is N2OAR operating as KTVR, officially closing the Barrow Technical Net and returning the repeater to normal operation. Have a good evening, everybody.
Thank you, Noel. Nice job. W2222.
K2OOL. W2DRJ. W2DRJ, we're on standby, we're listening. Somebody's pinging in the repeater, but there's no audio.
Connected K2OOL.
K2OOL.
K2OOL. W2PRJ.
How you doing there, Picnic Table Pete? I heard you on 220 the other night talking to KB2NLA.
Okay, pretty good. Not too bad. Some of the frequencies are pretty quiet there. Some of the regulars, none of them are on the air. Can't find them anyway, so I figured I'd monitor this frequency there. W2PRJ.
Yeah, most of them go up on that 223880, but I don't have the PL for that one, so I can't get into that one. It's his guest code, I think. It comes out as 311 on receive, but I think there's a different PL for transmit.
Yeah, he's having linear popped on that one, and now he's running on the low power, and he's going to be taking it off a line tomorrow, and... he's going to activate his 440 link. That's going to go online. But yeah, he's got major problems with that. It's usable, but he's requesting that you keep it to a minimum there, because the exciter is only putting out a watt, and he's got problems with it. So it's going to go down tomorrow for repairs. W2PRJ.
KT2MMC. So it gets the power output up on that. I can hear it on 446525, but that's another one I can't key it up. I guess I have the wrong PL or DCF code. Are you able to key up the 440 side of that?
Yes, I can get the 440 side of that. I used to until I changed a few things. I'm not too sure of the PL tone on it there.
I'm literally good over here in Clifton. Full bars. I get 311 and cell code for the output, but tell me 150. I can't tell you if that's right or wrong.
KC2MMC.
KC2MMC, come on in there, Terry.
What repeater are going to fix that? The 220 repeater, Pete?
A Lewis machine, the one that's over, yeah, the 223880 or whatever it is there. Yeah, he's a losing machine there. He's got problems with it there, and the amplifier popped. So he's got it running on low power, and he's going to take it down and work on it there. So, losing machine, what was that, 223880, I think it is, or 224880, but it's going down for repairs tomorrow because it's been damaged.
But lightning hit or just usage?
Just usage, as far as we know.
Okay, yeah. That costs money, takes time. Okay.
Yeah, so yeah, he's taking that down tomorrow and he's going to repair it, but it's going to be costly, I think. Not too sure what the result of that will be, but... he's asking for donations if anybody wants to donate there. But yeah, it's going to be expensive to repair there. W2PRJ.
Yeah, no, it ain't cheap for that. Alright, doing listening. Okay, then, I'll be on the side listening.
KC2MMC.
Somebody's calling your phone there. Go ahead there, Jerry, pick it up.
The double. Stand by.
2-O-O-L.
Yep. Alright, yeah, you gotta show me how to put that in a scanner there. I was on the other repeater. I heard somebody out there weighing the distance there, but that is, I didn't know who it was. I don't know if that was you.
Way in the distance, like in Nebraska?
You're like way out there, way, way out there.
I was on the KC2-ACY repeater. That's in Atlantic City. I was seeing if I could get Rob, but of course I didn't talk to him. I always talk to somebody else out there just on that system, so go figure. K2-OL.
Killed Charlie too much, my Charlie. Yeah, in fact, I gotta put this in my HT, but another time. I'll do it another day. Too lazy.
Hey, you gotta put this one on. This one's pretty active. I think there was a net on before. They have some kind of net or something. I don't bother with nets, but I heard that going on for quite some time. What do you know about that, Pete?
Yes, they do have a Thursday night net on. I think it comes on from 9 to 10. I'm not sure there. I've listened to it and participated once, but yeah, they have usually a 9 o'clock net on Thursdays there that comes on there.
Hey, did you ever get your HF antenna up, and did your daughter move your UHF antenna away from the house?
No, everything is still the same there. Nothing has been moved. I was going to put the get it away from the house and up in a tree, but then the other tree swaying around would damage it, so I finally got the okay to put it up on the chimney. So we're going to be working on that instead. And there's one up in the tree. The tree guy was supposed to have been here last week, and he never showed up. Weather was bad. It was raining, so we have to reschedule. The long wire antenna that's supposed to go up into the tree, but the weather was not with us. Mother Nature was not cooperating, so everything's got to be rescheduled.
Tree, and it stays there, and it doesn't move at all, unless there's like a really high wind, then you might hear a little signal flutter or signals coming in low. What do you think, Gary? Should I move it up higher?
You know what they say, height is might. Of course.
Yeah, I got that hooked up to the scanner. I'm pulling in like six of the weather stations. It's like really in a really good receiving area. Hey, you know the 996, it has better receive, but it does pick up intermod, and I noticed that the 536 does not get intermod. So I'm not going to get rid of the 996, but I might get another 536 to see, or borrow one to see if it works better on the base antenna, because I never got a chance to try it with the EP15.
Hey, man, what the heck got that radio? KC2MMT.
What'd you say, Gary? K2OOL for ID, by the way.
I thought you didn't like the Bearcat scanner. And you're going to get another one? You just got rid of it.
I like my 996. I got the 996 P2, man. That thing works terrific. I got a firmware update, and it seems like it's doing really good. I got all the colors programmed, green for peace, red for fire, blue for aircraft, and yellow for everything else that I can't think of what else. Oh, tow truck. I got AAA towing in there. I got kinds of weird things. DPW, all kinds of wacky things are in that thing. That thing is loud, man. I still think the XT sounds better. It must be the speaker. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to order the XT speaker and get in the P2 and see what happens.
What radio are you talking on now?
This is Android phone.
Oh, okay, no wonder I got a week to,
Hey, Pete, did you notice that I'm on Echolink, or you already knew that?
I knew when you signed on there that you were on the Echolink there. W2PRJ.
Does it announce Echolink and say my call sign, or is this, you can tell by the audio quality?
There was some kind of echoing when you first came on there, and the audio quality also there.
Oh, okay. Because I know on NJR it says your call sign, it goes Echolink connected, T-Q-O-O-L. I don't know if it does that on everything, but I guess not.
Yes, it did. It did announce your call sign there when you came on the Echolink there.
Oh, okay. I was listening to the NJR system the other night. It was just a madhouse. There was people keying up on each other, and then there was some guy playing obscene noises, and it was a circus, I tell you. You ever listen to 147.285 at night?
Yes, yes, I've spoken to a couple of guys who leave Atlantic City at 11 o'clock, work on their way home a few times on that repeater. Yes, yeah, a few times I spoke to people on there. W2BRJ.
Oh, well. What do you think, Gary? Have you been on NJR lately?
What about NJR?
Have you been on the NJR system, or have you monitored it at, like, nighttime, like, you know, when they have the net at, like, 10 o'clock? Because sometimes there's this guy on, and he plays obscene things over the repeater system, and then get annoyed, and then they start yelling at each other. It's like a whole big shindig.
And 2VH, Z Mobile.
Are you really in Nebraska? Go ahead, VHC.
Yeah, how's it going? Name here is Ken, Kilo Echo November. I'm Mobile, and I'm going through my repeater, which is hooked into Echolink. Again, my name is Ken. My call sign's November 2, Victor Hotel Zulu. Yes, I'm in the sprawling metropolis of Alliance, Nebraska. Back to you.
Yeah, good job on that. Your audio sounds terrific over here. So, then again, I'm using Echolink, but that really tells me, you know, that your audio is really good. Is it like a personal repeater, or is it like, you know, like a repeater that everybody, like you set up so everybody uses, or like a house repeater, or a like big system repeater?
Okay. What it is, it's a 220 watt ERP out of the antenna. It gets about 25 miles. Purposely, I keep it attenuated to that point. I have the antenna down low because I have no need for it to get out. I can get up to a couple of hundred miles with it, but I keep it down. I keep the footprint of the repeater within 25 miles. You can get into it with an HT anywhere in town. So there's only 10 licensed hams in Alliance, Nebraska, and there's only two that are active. So it is an open repeater. There's no PL tone. It's 147.015, and then with a plus offset of 147.615. And like I said, there's no PL tone. It's an open repeater. Anybody can use it. But there is nobody to use it. So I have to interface it to Echolink to be able to have it, have some chit-chat on it, so to speak. So back to you. I didn't catch your call sign. I just happened to jump in there. Sorry about that. This is N2VHC. Back to you.
Yeah, this is already K2OOL, and I'm in Clifton, New Jersey, on 146.955. Yeah, you should put it up, man. I don't know, maybe FCC personal things tell you to put it down and make your footprint small, but yeah, if you have the means, you should put it up high, man. If you get it out, I was in Ohio once, and they have some one repeater out there. The thing must cover the whole state. I think the guy told me it was doing 100 watts. That thing, no matter where I was, I picked that repeater up.
I hear you, man. No, I purposely have it down low because I just use it in town. Whenever I leave town, I have no need because the next town is about 65 miles away. And when I go there, they have a repeater that I can get into. And I get absolutely no interference on my repeater. I get nothing, you know, and I like it that way. And if I did, I would put a tone on it, but I don't. So I keep it down on purpose, so that way it just covers the umbrella of the town here, you know, kind of like it umbrellas it with RF, you know. And then once you get outside of town, it works pretty good. The town's only a mile square. Once you get outside of town, you can get pretty decent coverage with it. But I have no mobile radio in my personal car. I just use a handheld because of that. But I know what you're saying, man. I know exactly what you're saying because I work with radios for the railroad here, and I work with repeaters and so forth. But it's just, and you know what I'm saying? And then we get these winds coming off the desert at 60, 70, 80 miles an hour. I just don't want to have everything, you know, beat to death up there, so I keep it down, you know what I'm saying? And there's no FCC umbrage held against me or nothing. I can do whatever I want here. The point is that I chose to do it like that. I kind of went the opposite way, which is in reverse logic, but it worked out really well. You know what I'm saying? Back to you.
Yeah, I guess you don't want to get your antenna sandblasted. Free sandblasting, right? K2OOL. So pick it up, Terry. Terry's out there, KT2MMC, and Picnic Table Pete's out there, too. Go ahead, Terry. Pick it up, and then give us a beat for it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, when you get a chance, maybe I'll tell Ari to drive me over there. You can help me with my radios. I can't even put these repeaters in the scanner. I have no idea how to do it. Like I said, I still, with the lights, I can get one of these stars to flash. The other stars won't do it. I don't know why. The dispatch won't flash, but the other stars does, so I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Over to you, Pete. KC2MMC.
How's it going there, Ken? W2PRJ. Picnic Table Pete over here. How's it going there? We gotta stop meeting like this.
I like that nickname. Picnic Table Pete. That sounds cool. It's a nice one. Hey, I heard the gentleman OOL talking about NJR. Yeah, NJR repeater system has really, I mean, the guy is great that runs it, and he's a real, he's a real gentleman. But the people that use that, for some reason, they get gravitated towards that system, and they just tore it all apart they're relatively new hams, but they feel that they have to spout the FCC Part 95, 97, whatever they start talking about, and they don't even know what they're talking about. So it's so infuriating that these guys didn't even make an effort to get a license. They just passed a simple test, and then they come on the air shooting their mouths off to people that have 30, 40 years. They took over the repeater at night. It's really crazy, you know? And the whole point about when you have a lid on the air is you're supposed to ignore them. And those guys feed right into that guy that's jamming the repeater. They feed right into his technique and into his logic, you know? Okay, back to you, OOL. This is N2VHD.
Yeah, there's this guy in Brooklyn, New York that comes on, and he goes on all the repeaters and causes a stir, and sometimes he goes on there and plays audio snippets and people. Heck, man, if that was my repeater, as soon as I heard some kind of nonsense going on, I would drop all the links and I'd shut the repeater off. I know they got trustees, and you know I would shut the thing off. I would have zero tolerance for that. Some of the things that go over the air, blank you and this and that, that's not supposed to be on ham radio. Come on, guys. You know. It goes on, too, and it goes on and on. But that's the way it is, I guess. Certain repeaters have it and certain ones don't.
for that. K2 OOL.
W2PRJ. Hey, Ken, that picnic table nickname, that antenna that's on my QRZ webpage, when I first set it up, I had no place to put it. We had a picnic table in the backyard, a steel table. You know where you stick the umbrella? Well, that's where I stuck the antenna, and it worked so well, I kept it there for a couple of years. So one of the guys gave me the nickname Picnic Table Pete, because it was a steel table. It was aluminum, same color as the antenna. It looked like it was part of the antenna. But that's where that nickname came from, was Picnic Table Pete, because it worked so the table acted like a big ground plane. And it worked so well, I kept it there for a couple of years. W2PRJ.
Wait a minute, I got some comments for that one, Pete. You need to market that thing as a field day table. That would be unbelievable. It would be Picnic Table Pete's famous field day antenna. You could have one per station. That's where they could put the station, and the antenna is right there. Perfect. You're a genius. And if it happened by accident, it was meant to be. Over to you, OOL.
KC2HWG disconnected.
It works as a perfect ground plane. Yes, it does. You know, he says he's gonna get another range up antenna out there. Hopefully, he puts it on the picnic table and maintains his name there.
Yeah, that KC2HWG just disconnected there.
Sure work, but I'll talk to you guys later. N2VH, leave me another rotation, please, for not chatting with you. See you later. Once again, N2VH out.
Don't work too hard.
Hey, Ken, be safe to where you gotta get to there. W2PRJ.
73, KC2, MMC.
Hey, Terry, if you do a service search, go to amateur, and, right, and then, like, when you get the frequency you want, you can, like, stop on there, and then you hit menu, and then you hit store channel, and it'll go into your default playlist, whatever default playlist you have. In settings, you can set the default playlist. I set mine for, like, reserves or something. It's this way I know it goes into one playlist. Go ahead.
Maybe somebody tell me if I get this can in the other room. Let me go get it, alright?
Wow, what are you guys doing on 2 meters? Prius, welcome back to the station.
There's Jeff. Come.
Somebody's having a hard time getting in there. Turn the power up there, buddy.
That was Jeff, that's N2DXX there, Art.
Oh, that was me, trying to say hello, unless I doubled. Am I having that much trouble getting into Alpine? What are you guys doing on 2 meters? KD2CAK.
Okay, sorry. That's sorry. Oh, you texted me, told me to get over here. I gotta try to figure out how to put this in the scanner.
I hear you now, Ari. Go ahead.
Welcome back to the air, K2OOL. Happy to hear you guys out there, but always surprised to hear either of you on 2 meters. Did that make it through?
Loud and clear, W2BRJ.
Good evening, Pete. My name's Ari, if we haven't spoken before. Alfa Romeo, India.
Yes, Ari, yes, I think I've spoken to you before. I can't remember where.
Been here, so Ari, what kind of radio are you using now?